Welcome to this episode of Dial the Cosmos. With me, your host, Dominic J. Zenden. On this episode, we're going to talk about soul-to-soul communication and also the implications of soul-to-soul communications. Now, if you've never heard of this as a concept, it may be something that you might find interesting because I believe that everyone can be their own medium. Now, if you don't know me, I've been a medium for over 40 years. I'm an aura profiler. I see auras around everything, including people, and write reports about the colors and the correlation to who they are with those profiles. And if you want an aura profile, please come and get in touch. We can actually do that for you. But I'm also being very fascinated by everything within the paranormal and also the normal, the things that we take for granted and the things that we understand to be so, and question those things. So I don't always believe what I'm shown and what I'm told. Soul-to-soul communication is one of those areas where I really want to question what it is to be able to connect to any energy that there is. I think to understand it from the beginning, we need to talk about the soul and what the soul actually is. Now, for me, the soul is the driving force, the energy center of the body. It's like the battery pack that you put into a mobile phone. It's the place where everything that you are, everything that you do, everything that you have been and are going to be is stored. So it's like a record of not only this lifetime, but any lifetimes that you're going to experience as that soul. So the interaction with other souls, other people, other energies is all going to be stored on that. Now, I've heard this called the acoustic record, and I've heard people talking about it as cell memory or the blueprint of your lifetimes. There are many ways that people are actually talking about the soul and what it's capable of doing. But the first thing that we have to get straight in our thoughts is that the soul is a real part of us. Now, there may be people out there that might question this, and I'm certainly been one of them. I've never just accepted that we have a soul, but I think there's a few pieces of evidence that point to it. I think that when we talk about things like astral travel and out-of-body experiences, we understand that our consciousness is detachable from our mortal body. Now, we understand that, not because we've actually gone out looking for it. We've understood it because when we've gone through something that is a little bit more difficult or a little bit more tough to understand why we're going through something like an operation, our soul or our consciousness has lifted from our body, and we've been able to experience looking down upon ourselves. We've been able to understand what it's like to travel outside the body without the restrictions of breathing, seeing, eating, thinking, our normal sort of things that we go through in our everyday life in our human body are quite difficult sometimes to figure out where they all fit into our long-term existence. But the soul seems to have its own particular energy source. It seems to be able to be detachable from us, so we can do things like astral travel or out of body. And also, it seems to have a memory that we can tap into, that we can go into and literally understand more about the journey that we have been on as that spiritual side of our life. Now, it's not too much of a jump to think, well, everything that we do is actually recorded. That's quite a thought, isn't it? I think that it motivates me in many ways to think that if everything that we do, every action that we ever take, every word that we've ever said, I think it's about understanding that so you relate to that within your life. And if you think that all your actions are recorded for later on, it may just show you that there's a different way that we can react to certain situations that can help us later on. And we're going to come to karma later on in this particular podcast. But what I want to talk about is the fact that the soul is a part of us. And what has happened in some countries, I think that America led the way with this, is that they weighed people before they died and after they died. Now, I'm not sure if this is total and utter understanding that a soul weighs about 2 ounces, or whether it's something that we just experimented with. But apparently, the soul has a weight, and the body weighs less when the soul isn't in the body. And I suppose it's put up as evidence that the soul exists in that format. And the soul, for me, has always been a ball of plasma, like electrical energy that is a record of everything that we are, everything we've been, everything we have been, everything we're going to be. Because literally within our existence, the only time we live really too is the time that we live in each existence. It's not actuality. What is it that I heard the other day? I heard that eternity isn't a time-based situation. You can have everlasting time if you think about it in a human way, but if you think about it in eternity, it's just that there is no time. So an eternity would be a timeless realm, a timeless dimension, if you like, where time doesn't have an effect on anything or anyone within it. And I think that's pretty close to reality. Once we take out the time, the factors of all the things that we're getting to know and understand become very interesting to sort of calculate and to figure out and to work out. But the actual soul itself being timeless makes it eternal, which makes it something that is out of time. Now, if everything we have within our soul can be recorded and is recorded from all our actions, interactions, and reactions, then what we can have is a record of who we actually are. So let's talk about it from the side of trying to communicate into a soul that may have reincarnated, and now the soul is in a new mortal body, but it still holds all the information of all the past lives. Now, this is what I believe that mediums do. And I've believed this for a while now. I'm very clear in my perspective on this. I don't believe that there's a spirit world. I think the universe is a very uncomplicated place. I think it is what it is within the dynamics of where it is. And why would it want to replicate a human life when we've already been through that experience? I think that when we start talking about the spirit world, I think it allows people to have in simplistic terms that we are eternal, going back to that word eternal. But if you described it as an existence that is out of body and that is comfortably comprising of all the existences that person that you've just lost, that's gone over into that dimension, you might not feel that that is just what you're wanting to hear. You might want to hear that that individual person is the only person that's gone over. It's not that there are multiple different lifetimes, it's just the lifetime that you particularly miss. So, in a lot of senses, when people look for communication with people and an individual in existing, then what means is it's more about the person that's living. And as a medium myself, the question, one of the main questions I've been asked over the years is, are they okay? Well, by the very nature of what it is to be alive or be immortal, if you like, then of course, if you want it to fit into a concept that says they are still having the same lifetime, but in a different realm, then that may be a little bit harder to sort of fathom, or for me to be able to say to you that's what's happening, because I don't believe it myself. I personally believe that when we pass, we can be reincarnated. And because there's no time, there is no weight, there's no distinction between one lifetime and the next lifetime. It's just that every lifetime starts on its own linear timeline. And that's something that we use in our lives to order our lives. And what better way than to have a concept that allows us to put order into what would be quite a chaotic world if it didn't exist? But don't think of it as being an eternal thing, because time doesn't exist outside of our needs. It exists because we have to fit our lives into certain ways of being able to calculate where it is. Now, that could well be what's going on, but it's our interpretation of what's going on. It's not how I see the actuality of what's going on. So, your partner, your father, your mother have passed the spirit. They find themselves back in a new body as a child. Literally, they close their eyes, you wake up, and they're an infant again. Now, nothing in between would suggest that nothing in between. Now, maybe that's a tough thing for people to really grab their ideas about. For me, it really works, because why fill that space with anything when there's nothing there? Why try and make up a story about something? So that particular understanding can help you then get to grips with soul-to-soul communication, because I believe this is what mediums are very good at doing. They're on the frequency of the soul, and they can pick up the actual memories, the life, the descriptions, even some of the facts of what that person's life has been. And I think they pick it up from the soul. I don't think they pick it up from the spirit world. Now, if we can actually understand soul-to-soul communication, what it means personally is that nobody ever is or ever would be just in nowhere land. Because, nowhere land is just nothing, isn't it? It's why would we be holding when there's no time? We don't have to wait for buses. The only time we have to wait for buses is in this world because of our concept of time. In any other part of our existence in a spiritual way, we don't have to wait. And that fits into a few other concepts for me quite nicely, because if we are manifestation beings, beings that can think of something and manifest it, well, that would fit in with the soul being able to order and change some of the things that are going on. It would also mean that what we think, our consciousness, is what we become. And that sort of, if you look around the world and you look at people that you know, how people are and where they're influenced and what they know and what they don't know comes from that inner part of them. Why are some people really interested in space travel when other people are interested in botany? Why do we get people that are fixated by trains and train journeys and train travel when other people are interested in NFL football? It's all about, I think, the familiarity of where your soul has been previously. And a lot of things that feel familiar, you'll want to go and explore again. So I don't think you're learning about them. I think you're relearning your passions. And that could be something that we might be able to figure out once we see things like people who can play music, who are just really adept at playing music. People that are brilliant writers can just write. Brilliant astrologers, brilliant people in essence may have had many lifetimes to learn the skills that they're being reintroduced in their current lifetime. Now, once you start picking up on that, and you start thinking, well, hang on, if a soul's got all this information stored and they only have to be reintroduced to it, it makes a lot clearer about the purpose of having that soul. So we don't have to learn things. We don't have to go through these lessons. We just have to remember those lessons. And going into the soul could well give you that opportunity to feel familiar with certain situations. And I know lots of you will talk to me weekly about reincarnation and new lifetimes and the familiarity of certain things in their life. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because your soul is experienced of those things. And the fact that you could do that is a part of having that soul in a new body. So it may well be that your personality transfers from body to body to body. And as you go through those particular understandings of each lifetime, the more that we understand each of our previous lifetimes and each of our future lifetimes, the easier it becomes to understand that we are the sum total of everything. Some people call that unlimitless, which probably we are, but there's also the feeling that that knowledge is inside of us. And I think that that's what mediums pick up on when they make communication with loved ones. I think there's some very good mediums out there who can make that communication link between each soul, which is soul-to-soul communication. There's no need to talk about it in any other way. It's the missing piece of the jigsaw that people have been looking for. I think for as long as I've been working and working through what a medium does, because there's times where I look at mediums in astonishment and think, how do you know that stuff? And I figured it out is a frequency of soul vibration that they can tap into. And that means that your loved ones that have passed, that have gone, their soul will be reincarnated into a new body, and that information is available if you're on a soul level. It's about being on that soul level. If you're not on that soul level, if your mind is full of stuff and full of thoughts of spirit world and all the other things that we are shown sometimes because of, I think, ignorance, then you're going to want to hear that stuff. And if you want to hear that stuff, there's always going to be somebody that wants to tell you it, because there's nothing about being able to be open-minded to situations where you're able to listen to what's being said. And if you listen to what's being said and what's happening around, there's three things that you'll need from a mediumship reading. You'll need a medium to tune into you. You'll need a medium to be compassionate and also aware of how you feel, because emotions play a big part in this. And also, you need to be aware that this communication is within you as well, and that a medium may well access your soul to access your loved one's soul. Now, that may be something that you've never even considered. You may think, well, okay, a medium is just this telephone conduit that goes off into the spirit world and picks up your loved ones just by you sitting there. It just doesn't fit for me. It just doesn't work for me that way. And if we can actually see that the vibration of the soul is within that vibration of the person, in their aura, if you like, in their personality, in their intelligence, in their sensibility, you will then start to express and feel connected to anyone that you want to feel connected to. It's a long, long path, isn't it? From believing that someone dies, you go up to spirit, they have a time in spirit, and they can still contact through somebody who is a stranger, to the fact that you yourself, on the same vibration probably as that person, or a near enough vibration as that person, on the same frequency, can make that connection yourself. Now, let's take it up a stage, and let's just talk very quickly, before I talk about karma, about spirit guides. So much is talked about guides and people that have these guides. A lot of nonsense in lots of ways is talked about where these guides come from and what they're actually thinking. I think that spirit guides, we have to be accepting, first of all, is that those people that are talking to you from spirit may not be people that are strangers to you. They may not just be guides. They may be part of your previous existence that's locked into your cell memory. They could well be yourself in previous lifetimes or future lifetimes. And if you think about the previous lifetimes, well, that's going to be about knowledge that you've already learned. And future lifetimes, it's going to be about knowledge that you've unlocked out of this time. So it's going to be quite valuable to you because you're going to listen. And where that source is could well be a source of understanding yourself rather than trying to understand a teaching from a soul or a spirit that may even start to question the fact that you may be doing something difficult or doing something wrong. Because so many people will teach you that to contact your spirit guides, you've got to go into meditation. Well, I don't say that you have. I don't think meditation pulls you into your soul. But what I do think pulls you into your soul is calmness and familiarity. If you become very aware of your soul, then you can become very aware of that calmness around you when you contact. And then you can have a conversation within yourself. And that could be a multi-dynamic conversation with all your past lives, future lives, present life. And it can actually start to open doors to information that you might not have even thought about. So that stack of information that's there is inside of you. You're not going externally. You're not talking to somebody outside of your own soul, but you may be extending within the soul groups the actual knowledge. Now, this would come from collectives. And Michael Newton talked a lot about soul collectives, how souls are literally, we are everyone. Yeah, you're not alone. We're all connected. If I hurt, you hurt. If I'm pleased, you're pleased. It could be that our soul collective is with everyone. We have a piece of everyone within us. So that would open the door to a strong understanding of knowledge, wouldn't it? Because if you knew something, I would know it. And if all souls are connected on that level, we've certainly been able to disconnect ourselves over the last few thousand years just to being individuals. And that seems to be such a shame. But the basis for being a collective, and of course, there's going to be some energy that's closer to you and some energy that's further away from you. But there's going to be some that you recognize and some that you don't recognize. But why limit yourself just to 1, 2, 3, 4 guides? Surely that wouldn't make sense when you're limitless. Your actual power is to be able to communicate across the universe or the multiverse. And it may well be where channeling fits into this equation, is that we can channel thoughts from sentient beings on other planets, and that those thoughts that can come to us can reestablish or start a new knowledge, a new line of knowledge. Now, that new knowledge could well be the things that we pick up from outside of our soul. It could well be introduced into the consciousness. And those that are aware of that new knowledge coming through and aware of that consciousness can then actually start to understand these ideas. And it could well be something that we don't really understand fully right now. I don't think that channeling is something that is done particularly well within our societies. I think channeling tends to come in with a lot of disinformation. I think it comes in with a lot of common sense knowledge and stuff that we talk about. Some of the channelers that I've listened to make perfect sense, but they only make perfect sense in the human way. And I would often question, why would somebody on a distant planet or a distant constellation want to pass this knowledge that we already have? Surely they would want to advance our society at this particular part of our time. Because our knowledge is going to grow and change and alter and move depending on where our linear timeline is as mortals. But the thing that matters is all that knowledge is out there anyway. It's just about our acceptance of it. Can we figure it? Can we actually see how it works and then work it for our own so we can understand the nature of our particular existences? And really, the most important part of what we want to understand is not necessarily why something goes wrong in our lives. We don't really, you know, we know that life is full of little bits and pieces, and it's a tapestry, isn't it, of good and bad, difficult and tough and fantastic and fun. It's all sort of all woven in together. So times and things come and pass and go and move, but what we're trying to understand is how we are as mortals. What our actual purpose within our particular existence, our consciousness, what that difference makes to everything around us. Because once we realize we're timeless, you know, some might say limitless, some might say immortal. Once we realize that, then each lifetime frees us up to gather more knowledge and to look at the possibilities of what may be happening outside of our limited knowledge of what it's like to be sentient. Let's talk about karma, because I'm asked a lot of questions about karma. And normally when people ask me about karma, it's all about revenge, or he'll get his, won't he? Is something that I hear quite regular. Yeah, oh gosh, if he carries on acting like that, he's got to really, he'll have to live through that again and again and again. Well, karma isn't about revenge. That's the first thing. It's not about thinking of something that someone's going to have to do in retrepense to get back to a place where they once were. I think that because we're timeless beings, we've been through these situations many, many times, and we may not really understand the fact that living a linear life can be a little bit of a restriction to us living a life of freedom and knowledge. So karma, in a way, is having to repeat the same things over and over and over again. And I have come across people that have had the same lifetimes, and they've been caught in this sort of lifetime loop where they're repeating the same lifetimes with the hope that they don't make the same errors. Because it could well be that when we're stuck in a lifetime, we're making the same errors each time and affecting people, which is then related to karma. And karma could be until we realize, until our actions change, until we become calm, until we become aware and empathetic of our fellow humans, let alone our fellow soul members and our collective. And we have to keep repeating lifetimes. So when we get reincarnated, we come back again until we get past, until we've actually read the signs of what it is to be living a human lifetime. And those signs could be very obvious. We could be pre-programmed. Can you imagine it? If you've lived a lifetime as yourself before, and I'm sure that in this lifetime you've made, you know, errors or bad judgments or had to go through quite a lot of difficult situations. I don't think anyone ever goes through an easy lifetime. If you have gone through an easy lifetime, let me know, because I've yet to come across anyone that's been through that easy lifetime. So we make errors, but some of the errors lead to different consequences and different fields of understanding, and other errors just become the same errors repeated time and time again. That's one thing that I understand, that maybe why we come back, because we need to get things to the right level. So we understand that at that particular period in time. The other reason I think people can reincarnate fairly quickly without thinking about it is a time way, because it's the hardest thing to explain. Because when you start talking about things like past lives and reincarnation and karma, we can only really understand it when we talk about it in perspective of time. And we say, right, we come back time and time and time again, or we're repeating the same lifetime. So if our lifetime started in 1950, we come back to 1950 and live another 80 years to 2030. It could well be that that's the only way we can humanly understand it. But the coalition of being able to live a lifetime and then another lifetime may be because we haven't quite fulfilled the whole area of our life. But it gets complicated when we start to think of time, because when you think and consider where time is, why would we have to repeat? Because we already have repeated. So it's getting your mind around the fact that everything you've ever been, everything you're ever going to be, everything you've ever have been is all the same thing. And that the moment that you're in right now is the only important time. It's the most vital. It's the only time you can respond. It's the only time that you have a consciousness that you're aware of, although you might be aware of your consciousness in other ways. But if you're only aware of your consciousness right now, and this is the only thing that you're thinking about right now, that is the only time that you can ever affect yourself. So it may be the effect that we have on ourselves that makes the difference. And it may be why people that die young, say, you know, I've come across people that have had lives taken away before their time. Now, who's to say what time it is that we live to? Yeah, this is another part of what I'm sort of deeply considering, how this figures out and how this works. Because during a war, you know, we lose lots of young people. During a famine, we lose lots of children. During, you know, other disasters, you know, people are just taken away from their past. So are there unpredictable events that can happen that can take us away from our soul journey, our conscious journey? So in other words, can we not always predict what is going to happen? Are there random acts that take us away? And it may be that there are. Maybe that the planet we live on has its own particular circle of karma that the world is working on. And if that is the case, then we are just sort of here at that, at its mercy. So it sort of brings into this thought, doesn't it, that one day you might be walking down the high street and you make a wrong choice, you step out in front of a bus and bang, you're gone, and you're back as an infant repeating that same life again. That's the bit that is a little bit sort of hard to understand, isn't it? Is that if you get it wrong once, it could take away that potential of where you should be, or what you should be doing, or what you could be doing. Yeah, no shit about it, what you could. And that is the difference between understanding the karma, where fulfillment and understanding and knowledge affects the collective, could be from the distance that we have within our lives to do these things. And we might think that we live for what, 85 years? Well, at this moment in time, that's where medicine allows us to live. In medieval times, we used to live to 40, and 40 was thought about as being quite a long life. So when we think about how we put it into perspective, we look at time in a different way to what it is actually presented to us. It may be that medicine helps us live a longer life and a more fulfilled life because we choose that way of being, because the knowledge and the intelligence has to come from them to us. So it has to be transferred. And if we can actually see that we are eternal, we are limitless, well, then maybe our lifetimes could be the same. Maybe we could live for thousands and thousands and thousands of years rather than just 80 years. Now, that's a thought, isn't it? Because how many lifetimes could you fit into 1,000 years? You may fit in numerous amounts, but how often do I hear people in their latter part of their life when I talk to them that they're tired? They've come to a point where they've had enough of living and they want to start again. Now, maybe that's not what the universe tells us. Maybe the universe tells us that we could live forever and that we just change our view or change our career, profession, whatever we want to be. And that the longer our lifetime, the more we can actually understand about living. But this is the thing with us at this moment, because we only look at it as what we do in our lifetime. We only plan for those amount of years. If we all started living to be over 200 years old tomorrow, think of the implications through the financial services and pensions and the careers and all the things. You know, there'd be so much more scope for us to learn so much more. But the financial restraints would be even worse for the governments that have to pay pensions for another 100 years on top of what they figured out. They're already talking about not paying pensions until we're 70 because they think that we're living longer because of medicine. So we have to look at the human implications around the spiritual implications. And that if there are beings on other planets that live into eternity, or they live in that eternity, their systems would be different to our system. Our system is geared up to life and death. No two ways about it. And if we start living a lot longer, our system would have to be geared up to a different way. And that would be quite an interesting thing for the society that this earth is actually born on, because nobody really does anything without financial reward. And if we started to think of how maybe other planets work, maybe other planets do things differently. Maybe everyone works for free. Everyone does their job for nothing. So anyone can have anything they want because there's no monetary system. And that would mean that there's no implications, there's no doctrine, there's no limits, because what we would have then is a society where everyone was equal. It's a hard thought, isn't it? Can you imagine it? If everyone worked for nothing and you could have anything you wanted, it would just be an incredible society. Now, I can't see why we can't evolve into that. But we'd have to accept, first of all, that we are unlimited. And then secondly, we'd have to accept that we are all equal. And part of being equal to everyone else, which I believe we personally are, nobody should be above or below. It makes it a lot harder for people to live a life with ambition, because you wouldn't need that. You would just have enjoyment. It doesn't really fit into our role of society, does it? And maybe karma brings that out in front of us so we understand that we are responsible for what we say and do, but also we have a chance to redo that. So there's never a mistake. There's just things that you can fix. So never think that just because something's happened, that's you and that's everything done. It doesn't mean that. There's always an opportunity. And it may not be in this lifetime, but it may be in another lifetime that you can actually change some of the areas of choice because you become aware of it. And that's all because you're aware of soul-to-soul communication. This has been Dominic Zenden for Dial the Cosmos. If you want to get in touch with me, please come on to my website, dominiczenden.info. If you want to email me, please do, or profiling@gmail.com. If you want to profile, if you want to talk, if you want to invite me onto a podcast, I'm very happy to come along. If you want to be a guest on the show, please come be a guest and let's talk about things, because the main purpose of this particular podcast is bringing into motion the conversation so we can address things and learn and move forward with ourselves. And if we can open conversations for people to understand life better, then that's got to be the way that we do it.